We'll call the Geach County Board of Supervisors meeting to order for July 15, 2020. At 8:45 on the clock, we'll begin with the Pledge of Allegiance.
I pledge allegiance to the flag of the United States of America and to the republic for which it stands, one nation, under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
The Open Meetings Act is on the wall on the left. Attendance by observation, Jurgensen, Bauman, Thiemann, Doran, Byers, and Lytle. Up first is the consent agenda. Approve general agenda. Approve minutes of the meeting held July 1st, 2020. Approve all claims through July 15, 2020 in the amount of $486,154.76, except for claim number 2007-0147 to Hard Rock Quarries in the amount of $1,355.52. And claim number 2007-0151 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $2,747.98 to be voted on separately below. Approved and placed on file correspondence received, including a letter emailed over July 14th from the Nebraska Farmers Union, which basically is a statement of support for the wind farm. Approved and placed on file correspondence received. Approved utility permit number 1154 to the Windstream Nebraska LLC. They'll be boring 5 foot below the bottom of East Oak Road, approximately 650 feet east of the intersection for 66 feet. To place a new SEB 6x24 line encased in a 2-inch rigid conduit to provide service to Dan Hankerton, located in the northwest quarter section 2, Township 2 North, Range 6 East, Sicily Township, and southwest quarter section 35, Township 3 North, Range 6 East, Riverside Township.
I would move to approve the consent agenda.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Lytle. Any discussion? Vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. Regular agenda. Approve or disapprove claim number 2007-0147 to Hard Rock Quarries in the amount of $1,355.52. This is one of my companies.
Motion to approve.
Second.
Moved by Jurgens, second by Lytle. Doran. Second by Doran. Vote. 6 in favor with Thiemann abstaining. Approve or disapprove claim number 2007-0151 to Johnny's Welding in the amount of $2,747.98. This brings the total amount of claims approved through July 15, 2020 to $490,258.26.
Move to approve.
Second.
Moved by Hill, second by Dorn. Any discussion? Vote. 6 in favor with Jurgens abstaining. Comments from the public and requests for future agenda items for the Board of Supervisors. I see some faces that I've got calls from. I apologize. I did not get everyone called back. There was a lot of interest this last week in phone calls, so we do appreciate you calling. We'll try to keep giving back to people. I'm sure other members of the board didn't get everyone called back either, but please don't think that means that we don't think it's important. It is important. There's just been a lot of interest lately, which is a good thing.
I think the calls were that I received were very courteous and very informative on how they feel, and I think it's very important that we listen to our taxpayers and the people who live in Geach County. So I think telephone calls were very positive.
With no public comment, we'll move on to committee reports. Building and ground, winter lights. Good morning, Mr. Jones.
Good morning. During our building and grounds committee reports, we did revisit on the handicap ramp. The old one doesn't circulate water very well anymore, and so we did talk about it earlier. I did talk to one of the contractors. He said it's pretty late in the season to get something started this snow melt, so he recommended coming up with a plan at this time and then waiting until early spring to start really getting into it to see if we can. This time, if we did, we would actually hopefully even do something with a closed in, kind of like a vestibule type thing. But, so we can hopefully start moving forward with that. Sheriff's Office. Sheriff did request for a larger awning. We originally had just a small awning design over the entrance there, and now that he is going to keep his door locked on the outside, he asked for something to give some protection while people wait to get in. East parking lot, we revisited about that again, about just, I have it marked out for the widening the entrance to the east parking lot so we can put the drop box on an island in the middle for easier access to get to the drop box. And then the sheriff did request for two more windows. We replaced two windows downstairs in the basement. Those windows were so bad they were just falling apart. The windows up above those two are also old, and they have leaked for quite a while, and it just is a continual problem. So I'm going to get a bid to get those hopefully replaced here soon. Last thing I had is right after Monday's meeting, I've been noticing here lately the air compressor for our fire sprinkler system has been running off and on, and it always does run a little bit. What we have is a wet and dry system. The wet side is always full of water. The dry side is full of air. It's a 6-inch line that's full of air that holds the flap down. If there ever was a call for the sprinkler to go off, that flap would rise and send water up to the attic. And anyway, I noticed it was the air compressor was always running, and so I started kind of backtracking, and I did find a pretty good-sized hole in one of the pipes. I called the sprinkler guys, and they told me just to go ahead and patch it for now, and they're going to come down here pretty soon, and they will have to remove that piece of pipe and reinstall a new one. The only trouble is, naturally, it's in a real tight spot. It's underneath the treasures area that, where we have an elevator room. There's a small crawl space that's only about less than 2 feet, I would say, in there. So I sent some pictures. I'm going to send some more pictures so they can best see how to get in there and change that pipe out. So.
I did not meet with you either. I ended up wandering around and talking here till afternoon.
Sure.
Again. I'll try to catch up with you between our meeting and equalization here again,
okay.
And we'll go across the street.
Mainly, it is all marked out, and so we talked about maybe getting the city come up here. And
hopefully, they can run over and look at it with us.
Yeah.
Thank you, Dave.
Thank you.
Equalization. Finance and Insurance, Mr. Jurgens.
Mr. Chairman, large ticket items. The answer is concrete, sand and gravel. Rock and gravel, $43,482.60. Cather & Sons asphalt materials, $10,071.60. Midwest service and sales, Culvert Projects, $48,030.77. NMC Parks and Labor Repairs, $16,977.56. Sat Brothers Fuel Oil, $15,647.82. So, large ticket items.
Human Resources and Employee Relations. And we will have another one
today
on personnel. Law enforcement, emergency management.
Nothing for me at this time. Be later on.
Lisa?
Sure. Just an update on zoning, if I could first. We have that hearing set, which most of you I shared with you at committee meeting, but it's set for July 30th, which is a Thursday. We do have one hearing prior to the amendment, so at 5:30 the Zoning Commission will convene and then call to order, and at 5:30 5:45, we have a special use permit for a RV campsite for Ray Rohr in Blakely Township. And then at 6:30, we'll go into hearing the amendment. This will be a regular meeting for Gage County Zoning, so we'll have a few other items. As far as zoning is concerned, we've been really busy the last couple of weeks. We had a lot of permits come in. Yesterday, I had 3 more calls on grain bins, so I think that's going to continue to be on the upswing here as we go in and grain prices are affected. I think all of us, as you alluded to, have received a lot of calls on the wind and as we move forward. So, but yes, the logistics is secured. That will be at the Havalon Center for the hearing of the two meetings, the two special use permits. On the other side of that, on the emergency management side, we had some storm damage come in last Wednesday night. As most of you know, we had some storm damage and wind, high winds that we lost quite a bit of crop damage up in the northern part of Gage County, and then also in the southern part of Gage County with green snap. We did have communities of Blue Springs and Wymore that were hit, quite a few power outages. We did not report anything to NEMA at this time. We didn't make the minimum of the $83,000 for, you know, for reporting, but they were aware of that. I also wanted to share with you that, you know, most of you know that we've seen an uptick in the rise of COVID cases here in the last couple of weeks. Yesterday, most likely you would have received a notice from Public Health Solutions. And what's happening right now in long-term care facilities is that they are now testing in order to open their doors to their family members. So what you're seeing is most of the long-term care facilities, all their workers, in order to reach the next phase, have to be 100% tested. And through that, if they receive a negative test, then they can go ahead and go on to their ICAP, their next phase. So that will be happening in the next couple weeks, so we may see a rise. But the Kim Showalter sent you out a public notice yesterday, and it all kind of stems from why we're seeing some of this uptick is because people have gone out and have been socially having some gatherings and doing some things. The uptick on the in our health district has been related to contract tracing for 2 golf tournaments that were held out of our public health district. However, correlates to the fact of the virus. It may have been one adult that brought it back to their family. They've done contract tracing for over 100 individuals. And so in this, her comment, I'd just like to read this. As one healthy adult may contact the virus and have a very mild case of illness, but unknowingly transmit to a friend or a family member who may work with an at-risk individual at a long-term care facility or a hospital. As we see positive cases increasing, it's more important than ever to take the necessary precautions when going out in public. Although you may not become seriously ill, your actions can absolutely affect vulnerable individuals in your community. Wearing a face covering, practicing social distancing, avoiding large gatherings, and a vigilant hand hygiene is still the best defense that Public Health Solutions is asking our district to consider. So we'll move forward, try to get those messages out as much as we can. We know that we're in phase 3 in Nebraska. For our county right now, phase 4 for Governor Ricketts may be coming forward soon. It will be up to Public Health Solutions to determine whether our county, Gage County, or our health district gets to move forward to that phase 4. So they're working on their evaluations right now, determined by our uptick in that. So we should be hearing more on that soon. So.
And the more we can get that information out to the public so they have as much information as possible is so important. And I've had questions on where are these happening in Gage County. Are they in Beatrice? Are they north? Are they south, east, west? Where are they? And so the more information we can get out, the more our – and you work real hard at that. But
sure.
We need to work with our news media to make sure that they get that out.
And then our grant year has come to a complete, so as far as the emergency management side of it, we have submitted for the next grant year, so the county should be seeing the reimbursement. applicants come in here fairly soon. So. And then just to chat a little bit about Fair for the Ag Society, that's next week. We have a down size in terms of show and go only, and then static exhibits for our youth for 4-H and FFAers. So you'll see a lot less activity at the fairgrounds, unfortunately, but that's how most fairs, over 360-some fairs in the United States, have been forced, including large venues that have had to do what we're doing right now, based upon the liability concerns, you know, with contraction. And then when you're so close to the school year, if you're having events and gatherings, you just don't want to affect anything like that. So.
Are you going to hold the premium auction?
So at this time, we are going to hold the premium auction. It won't be animals, won't be coming back for that, but we'll be doing a card site interview style of premium auction. So the child will get up, the exhibitor will get up, explain to them about their project, what ribbon they receive and what they want, and then the auction's off that way.
Well, I see Jefferson County is advertising theirs, you know, the premium auction, what it is. And
sure, yep. Some fairs have elected to maybe have a few more activities than others. That's entirely up to them. So this is the choice that we as a governing body made for the Ag Society. That's it.
All right. Thank you, Lisa. Yeah. Anything for Lisa? Sheriff will have his stuff later on in the agenda. Road and Bridge. Mr. Hill.
Yes, this is the dirt crew. I did work preparing for the storm damages. The asphalt crew was putting trees and weeds around bridges and coal patch on the Rockford Road. And the bridge crew was patching concrete bridges. And I think that was just in general about the storm damage. We had a discussion on next year's budget, which could include up to $200,000 in repairs, discussion on the equipment. We discussed the bridge match project. And we had continued discussion on the shortage of rock and gravel.
Mr. Jurgens? I was going to say, I asked Galen for an updated list of hours and miles on equipment. He's asking right now for one motor grader, the unit 3749. It's a 07770 Deere D. It's got 15,400 miles. They're planning to keep a 03140H Cat with 16,600 hours, but we also have a 09140M with 15,875 hours. Sounds like there may be tranny issues there, so as we're talking about that in Road and Bridge, we may want to consider looking into if there's money around for another motor grader. We've got two of them over 15,000 hours, one reaching close to 16,000. And it's in that range where it may need a transmission too. Mr. Jurgens?
I was just going to make a comment concerning the supplies of the rock and gravel. I know I had a couple of complaints from haulers, township haulers, you know, the line availability and everything else, and some township members that are wondering where we're going to get our gravel. The supplies are tight right now, I know. And I think it was rock, gravel, all the areas. So I said, I don't know what we can do other than, you know, hopefully everything gets moving again and we'll have a better supply later on. So.
Anything else for Road and Bridge? All right. I would invite Mr. Paul Hay to give us an update with the tire amnesty. Paul, could you give your name and address for the record? And good morning.
My name is Paul Hay. I live at 101 Sugar Street here in Beatrice, Nebraska. Here to talk about tire amnesty.
Thanks, Paul.
Thank you.
Since you inquired about my health, Eric, I'll tell you, I haven't been near Dennis Meyer, so I'm very well off.
Good to hear.
My wife's been real happy about that, Paul.
Yeah, right. Linda Grell asked me to come in and just update you on the entire amnesty. It'll be August the 19th and 20th at the parking area, the north side of the Gates County Fairgrounds. It says on the flyer August 19th because we anticipate we may not be open on the 20th. We typically have gotten so many calls about the next day, we've kind of made it a little more subtle in that regard. We did increase the volume. We have been around equivalency. I'll just talk about equivalency of car and truck pickup tires of about 35,000. In this situation, we're 450 tons, so that'd be about 45,000 equivalency. So we should have plenty of room for that. We don't allow any retailers that are doing this because they're mandated by the state to have these picked up anyway, and they're paid for that. So this is people. It does help the county a lot in picking up. We've had townships before that have picked up debris from along the road, brought those tires in. We've had some itinerant county shop materials. We've had, you know, and off the fairgrounds, we have a lot of tenants that have been left with little treasures. And one of the sites that you get a little easy on this, but we've always really been cooperative with larger piles of tires somewhere on farm or left on a rental place. I think Eddie brought some in a couple of different times off of that. We cleaned up last time the Northeast Auto pile that was left out there. One up north here, a lot of silage pile tires, things like that. So I think we've done really good at getting rid of a lot of those. I mean, somebody in North Gates County a couple times ago bought an acreage with, I think Tiemann brought those in, three side rolls of tires left on the acreage for some reason. And those got tipped up. So we're pretty cooperative with that kind of thing. I think that's good for our community. And like, you are obligated on this, but we want to assure you, Eric, that we do very diligent in terms of getting weights, getting counts on the tires, and making sure we have ample room that we're not going to run over. This last time we stopped well ahead, and very fortunate because last season when we did this 2 years ago, very, very rainy, and we had a lot of water weight. I remember one semi that got stuck. They came in, and where they loaded the semi that day, they parked in the same place. So much water came out of the tires that semi got stuck on that spot. Never should have stopped there, but there it is. But, you know, that added quite a lot of weight, but yet we didn't have any difficulty at all. So we try to make sure of those type of contingencies and like that. Safety of the community. We've had good interaction with law enforcement, particularly the city of Beatrice, and neighbors out there watching about incurement of tires or dangers of fire, something like that, that we're well aware of, trying to avoid those kinds of things. So there it is. We're going to enjoy, and I don't think COVID is going to bother us at all because we really don't interact that closely with people in this regard.
Well, we want to thank you, Amanda, and
all. Answer any questions you had, and thank you.
Paul, you do an excellent job. This is a wonderful project, and it's very, very good for our community.
Are you taking some kind of pills? Why are you nice to people?
Somebody made me memorize that.
Thank you, Paul. We appreciate it. This really is a great program. And Linda, yeah, you bet. Yeah. Could you give your name and address for the record as well?
My name is Linda Grell. What else is your name?
Your address, please.
Oh, 1907 Washington here is the address. So I just went down and added up the figures. I just wanted to let you know that so far we've done 13 collections since we started in 1998, and we've taken in 3,340 ton, which means 6 million pounds of tires. So and the grants that the county has accepted during that time, this year's grant is $50,000. But $412,000, almost $413,000 with grants from the Department of Environmental Quality. So, and I looked at a sheet, and Gage County is the largest in the whole state. Nobody is bigger.
That's fantastic.
They sent an email out yesterday. They said, could you limit it to pickups? I thought it's too late for that. We're way past pickups coming in. So Just wanted to thank you.
Thank you. Roger, do you want to address this next one to get us taken care of on the agenda?
Yes, you'll notice on the agenda we've got an item I'm asking you to make a motion to allow consideration of this item involving the interlocal agreement with our drug court. There was some delay in getting the contracts over here, and once it were, Don Green put them on. But we should do a motion to amend the agenda to allow this on an emergency basis since we're under a time constraint.
I'd ask for a motion to allow this to be put on the agenda.
So moved. Second.
Moved by Lytle, second by Bauman. Vote. 7 in favor. With that, I would ask for a motion to approve or disapprove Southeast Nebraska Adult Drug Court Interlocal Agreement with Gilmore, Gage, Jefferson, Thayer, and Saline Counties. That contract would be effective July 1st, 2020 through June 30th, 2021. And do you want to elaborate on that at all?
Just very briefly, you got a small increase this year. And basically, what it amounts to is about a little over 1% increase. We didn't have any increase at all last year. We still have the majority of the participants in this program. We were down one, but there's a few more that came in from some other jurisdictions. Looking at the cost, is about $398 per participant. Now, these are all felonies that involve the bulk of these are drugs, hardcore drugs. And I would just, without belaboring it, because I don't have a lot on your agenda, we save a considerable amount of money in both legal fees, court time, jury trials, etc. So it is a very good program, and basically it addresses the issue of people with addictions. There are strict guidelines as far as how you get in, or how you get into the program. And I would just add a final note. The last year, we can look at an 87.5% success rate with the people coming through this program, which is quite a bit higher than the national level. So, again, I think it's a good program. It certainly benefits our county. And I would ask you to consider continuing to support this program through the interlocal agreement.
And I agree with the county attorney. I have participated in this program, helping them in the program. And I'd like to move to approve the Southeast Nebraska Adult Drug Court Interlocal Agreement.
Second.
Moved by Byers, second by Lytle to approve the Southeast Nebraska Adult Drug Court Interlocal Agreement. Any discussion? I would ask you to vote. 7 in favor, the motion carries. That is a really good success rate. Hopefully it stays up. Approve or disapprove resolution to study the existing zoning regulations related to wind energy. This will, of course, be probably a little slower item than the other ones have been. Last meeting, a resolution was presented that asked for there to be a 4-month moratorium on wind energy permits. That was voted down 5-2. This resolution seeks to expedite that process even more quickly with a 3-month moratorium. There was question whether a moratorium could be put on anything related to wind, and we had arguments from both sides. We asked for opinion from NACO on this. NACO reviewed everything. They said it looks like that can be done, but there may be a hiccup or a issue as far as a hearing or something in through the planning and zoning process. So we sent them our zoning regulations. They came back again, and their opinion was that there's nothing in our zoning regulations that would not allow a temporary moratorium. We also have, and this will be when I lose the sheets I had. No, what was that? some notes sent from the Attorney General from, I think it was from Stenberg's office. Those I just highlighted. Basically, it discussed when a moratorium can be put in place, when can powers of the police state be exercised, which would be us acting in that manner. The surmised version of that would be when it's in the, when there's a public health and safety or an issue that deals with the morale of the community. There were multiple items there. Basically, you have to look at how stringent that will be, how much it impedes the right to do business, how it affects people trying to operate on a day-to-day basis. Now, these are very surmised. I had some stuff underlined to read through. So I think something to keep in mind would be keep it specific, keep it to the point, state why it's being done. We can't just randomly tell people they can't do things for no reason. If there's potential for, oh, there you go, Don. Right in front of me, thank you. This is the United States Supreme Court describing a balance test. That's what I was trying to get at. I'll just read this paragraph. And this was in, this was specifically towards hog confinement, which it's a another type of business that's controversial, where the statute regulates even-handedly to effectuate a legitimate local interest, and as its effects on interstate commerce are only incidental, it will be upheld unless the burden imposed on such commerce is clearly excessive in relation to the local benefits. If a legitimate local purpose is found, then the question becomes one of degree and the extent of burden that will be tolerated. That will, of course, depend on the nature of the local interest involved and on whether it could be promoted as well with a lesser impact on activities. That's, can you have a moratorium? How much will that impede on people? What's the severity of it? And once again, this is from Don Stenberg, the Attorney General's office.
Is that a recent thing?
This is from, this is from 1997. Speaking of moratoriums again, one primary factor in a review of the constitutionality of any such legislation would likely deal with whether it addresses a legitimate state interest. That's where my summation was trying to get at. Do we have a legitimate state interest? If we do, it's important to identify and articulate the state's interest and the purpose for justifying any legislation or any ruling like that. A real and substantial relation to the legitimate state purpose must be stated and a means of how that will be dealt with. Factors of the legitimate state interest involved, the particular statutory language creating a moratorium would declare the purpose for the moratorium, how the moratorium is to operate and be enforced, and then it gets into, you know, if there would be one moratorium, a court would consider these factors if it's challenged and decide whether the moratorium was reasonable and address the state's interest. It's been stated by both sides. That's not a small thing. The people affected are both sides, the potential developers as well as the landowners in the area, or we'll just call them the people for and against. It's important to both of them. It's a big deal to both of them. So if we're going to enact something like that, we can't take it lightly. If we do, I think it's very important that we have a time limit on it. We state why we would do something like that. This doesn't put favor for or against. This has to have a specific purpose, and I think the intent of this resolution would be to pump the brakes, allow the process to take place, which has been on hold for quite some time, and then we get started again. 3 months is not a long amount of time when you consider how long this has gone so far. We've asked the planning and zoning to come back to us with something as quickly as possible, and they have a meeting set for the end of this month, actually in basically 2 weeks, on the 30th at 5:30. So with that, I'll ask if there's any comment from the board on this resolution. Wow, didn't expect that.
Mr. Chairman, can I break the silence?
Yes. Mr. Levy, could you give your name and address for the record?
Well, thank you. Good morning, Commissioner, Supervisors. David Levy, Baird Home Law Firm, 1700 Farnham Street in Omaha. I will be brief. You heard from me 2 weeks ago on this issue, and at that time I made the case to you that this moratorium is illegal. It violates state law, specifically Section 23114.01 of the Nebraska Revised Statutes, which requires to amend your zoning regulations, you must hold a public hearing, a notice public hearing, and receive a recommendation from your Planning and Zoning Commission. That's a statute that the legislature adopted. Mr. Stenberg's opinion cannot overcome a statute. I believe that opinion from 1997 also was about was to the legislature about a state statute that they were considering having to do with hog confinements, as the chairman said, and the legislature subsequently repealed that statute. 23114.01 is as clear as can be to change your zoning regulations, and that's what you're doing here. You're changing your procedures for accepting applications for one particular land use, which, by the way, that land use exists in your county today, and the company wanting to file an application for that land use pays this county about $125,000 a year in property taxes right now. That aside, this proposed moratorium is illegal. It violates state law. I don't want to belabor that, and I feel like this has become adversarial between my client and the county board, and that's not my intent. I want to say one more thing that I hope is more positive in terms of moving forward, and that has to do with the text amendment. My client absolutely opposes a one-mile setback because it's not justified. There's no justification for it in law, fact, or science. They do not, however, oppose the county amending its setbacks in a reasonable way. If the county wants to amend its setbacks and follow Lancaster County's lead and do something that's a multiple of turbine height to accommodate larger turbines or longer blades that might be coming, that makes sense. Lancaster County is at 5 times turbine height. Gage County is less dense than Lancaster County. So if Gage County wanted to look at 4 times turbine height or 3 times turbine height or something like that, I will say to you that that likely is something that my client would support. Again, my client will participate fully and in good faith in the text amendment process, which makes this moratorium not only illegal, but really unnecessary. But again, the point I really want to make is to suggest to you that this text amendment process can and should proceed, and my clients will participate in good faith, and they do not simply oppose any change. Something like 3 or 4 times turbine height, I think they would support openly and publicly. I'm saying it to you right now in open session. Another thing to look at, Madison County, which maybe is more similar to Gage County. They have Norfolk, which is larger than Beatrice, but otherwise I think fairly similar. As to land use and density, their setback is 2,200 feet from non-participating residents, a little bit larger than yours, but something that they, after a lot of study, landed on as appropriate, as a balance. All land use regulation is a balance, right? You're taking away people's property rights in the name of the public health, safety, and welfare. You should take away those property rights only to the minimum extent necessary to protect the public health, safety, and welfare. 4 times turbine height, something like that, may very well do that. A mile doesn't do that. I don't mean to argue the merits of the text amendment right here. That's not proper. It's coming up in 2 weeks. I just want to make it very clear and very public that my clients are not opposed to any increase in the setbacks, only one that's unreasonable and unjustified, something like 4 times turbine height, 3 times turbine height, 2,200 feet, they would support through the process, including right here at this podium. So thank you for the time. I do appreciate the opportunity. I do encourage you to not, again, adopt this moratorium. Nothing has changed in the 2 weeks since I stood here before. The process is moving. I committed to you last time. I'll reiterate it. We will not file an application for a conditional use permit before the Planning Commission hearing on the 30th. We will let that part of the process play out without any interference from an application. I don't think that would interfere with that process, but if folks feel that way, I will make that additional commitment to you as well, in addition to the commitment that NextEra would support an increased setback within reason. So, again, thank you for your time. I appreciate it.
Thank you, David. And, I mean, this is just natural. When there's two sides, there's going to be some type of adversarial feeling at times. That doesn't mean, I mean, that's, I hate to say it so coldly, but that's business. That's the way it is. There's two sides to every coin. And we're trying to be very open and flat with that so that we take in all the information. Mr. Bargan, would you like to present something on the other side? Please give me your name and address.
Supervisors, David Bargan, Rembold Lemke Law Firm, 1128 Lincoln Bowl, Lincoln, Nebraska. I reside in Gage County, Northern Gage County, at 3383 South 110th Road, Adams, Nebraska. Did you all receive the letter I sent to the county board, I believe? I emailed this and also regular mailed it to the county clerk, as well as County Attorney Mr. Harris, asking that they forward it to you. And in there, thank you again for the opportunity to respond to Mr. Levy's email of 2 weeks ago to you that made the same case that this moratorium is somehow illegal. Those are some harsh terms, and I think not appropriate and not valid, frankly. I explained in my letter to you that based on Nebraska case law, multiple Nebraska case law, the default in Nebraska under land use law, and that is one of my specialty areas, is land use law, is that you as a zoning authority, you have the authority, you are in the driver's seat, to determine under the police powers of the state, in the interest of the general welfare, health, safety, and welfare of the public, what land use regulations are. That's the default. The law even says that you can retroactively apply a new zoning regulation to a development that's already been planned. There's no vested right for a landowner to rely upon existing zoning regulations. That's the default. There are exceptions then for developments that have started construction and have gone a ways down the road to construct something. Then there's a prior non-conforming use aspect that comes into that. Then there's exceptions to that. But before that, it is your authority, it's your prerogative to look out for your constituents and the land use regulations they live under. So I hope that my letter helped to elaborate on that, to provide some light on that. The word moratorium, I think, sometimes trips people up. All you're doing is saying publicly with this resolution, we as a county are going to pump the brakes, as you said, Mr. Chairman. We're going to back off for a minute. We're going to allow ourselves time to do our statutory duty to review our regulations and determine what's in the best interest of our public for the health, safety, and welfare of the public. The statutes that Mr. Levy cited do not say you can't have a moratorium. They don't relate to that whatsoever. This is not a zoning regulation. You're not changing your zoning regulations. You couldn't change them through this resolution. And you all know that. It has to go through the Planning Commission, public hearing. That's not what this is. And yes, those statutes regard zoning. This is not zoning at all. It is simply a statement that you have a policy. Mr. Levy talked about setbacks in different counties. Hamilton County is a 2-mile setback. They approved that just recently. Mr. Levy represented a company in Hamilton County also to put wind towers there. They denied the permit, then came back and changed their setback to 2 miles. My clients are asking for a 1-mile setback. So there's precedent across the state to have more than just multiples of tower heights. It can be up to 2 miles.
I would try to steer you towards the resolution at hand here. Not there will be open public hearing for the legitimacies or lack thereof for the amendment on the 30th.
I appreciate that. And there will be time to talk about that. So I just wanted to make sure you all received the letter that I sent. And the concerns my clients have had about this process and some of the delay that has happened. And that's why they support this moratorium, to say, let's step back. Let the county have time to think through these regulations. It's only 3 months. And they would favor that aspect and that request of you for their position and to have, as I said before, equal questions about anything I provide to you, the board? Okay, thank you again. Appreciate it.
Thank you. I was upstairs when Eddie was afraid I wasn't here again. I was talking with our county council, and there is a gray area. That's what we talked about. We cannot make a zoning change here. And that's what we've tried to read and look to see what is allowable, what is not. We can't make a change here the way our process works. We need to let planning and zoning go through things. They'll make a recommendation. We'll vote. Along with that, once the application is put in, planning and zoning will review it, see if it meets our current standards. They'll vote, make a recommendation. Again, it comes to the board after that to approve or disapprove it. After that, if the opinion isn't one that people like, then it would go to an appeals board or something, and we've seen that different times. The idea of this is not to change the regulations. We've had an unusual length of time that went by when there was a request to review again, and P&Z was unable to do that in that amount of time. There's also some comment. I just want to make a statement here. Lisa called and said there were some upset P&Z members. I said it was pathetic how long this took. I'll reiterate that statement. I still think it was pathetic how long it took for this to be looked at and reviewed. That wasn't directly at the P&Z. P&Z has been doing a good job. I think the entire board supports our planning and zoning, so I do want to reiterate that as well. This was not on them. They were waiting to receive direction on how to notify the appropriate people in that area, and that took months. So it'll be faster the next time something comes up, I'm sure, because now we have a mechanism in place. But that wasn't the P&Z's fault. This is giving the P&Z their ability to do their job again. Now we're saying that we want them to do it quickly. We want them to get us a recommendation fast. 3 months is a short amount of time when we're going to need to advertise another public hearing after they give us their recommendation. So it's a very short amount of time, but that's kind of the situation we're in right now. There's been a long period of time, and now we're asking them to get it to us in a quick amount of time. Any other discussion from the board other than just me? The resolution reads, do you have a copy of it? This resolution reads exactly the same as the...
I wanted you to read it to me.
Oh, well, I can read it out loud. This was all the changes here.
Just there's two places here.
Oh.
And there.
Okay, so I'll read this aloud just so we do have it.
Is the only change to 3 months?
Four months to three months. It accelerates it another month. Do you want me to read it aloud?
I make a motion to approve the resolution.
20-15. It might not hurt just to read through it. And
whereas Gates County has a comprehensive development plan, and whereas Gates County, Nebraska has zoning regulations in place which are intended to direct the location of specific uses and provide for proper separation of conflicting uses, and whereas the County of Gates has seen an interest in additional wind energy conservation, energy conversion turbines, and whereas the County Board of Gates County wishes to study the existing zoning regulations related to this use, and whereas the likelihood of additional wind farms in Gates County is probable, the County Board desires to review regulations which are appropriate for the county and its residents, and whereas the Gates County Planning Commission shall be directed to review the county zoning regulations and then make specific recommendations for changes to the county zoning regulations dealing with wind energy before accepting, granting, or recommending a conditional use permit for the construction of the wind turbines, and whereas the county board finds the most appropriate way to work on said regulations is without the possibility of new applications coming forward during a time frame which allows consideration of appropriate wind energy conversion regulations. Now, therefore, in consideration for the foregoing statement of Gates County, the county board of Gates County, Nebraska, Nebraska, hereby adopts the following resolutions. Be it resolved that the county board of Gage County, Nebraska, that a 3-month moratorium on accepting any wind farm applications is hereby invoked and approved. Be it further resolved that this moratorium will be extended if necessary in order to allow the Planning and Zoning Commission to conduct public meetings, included but not limited to public hearings, in direct regards to current and potential changes to regulations pertaining to wind farms, and to further allow any potential changes to be passed on to the Gage County Board of Supervisors for review, approval, or disapproval, with the same previously mentioned considerations as allowed for the Planning and Zoning Commission. Be it further resolved that the Board of Supervisors of Gage County, Nebraska, hereby directs the Gage County Planning and Zoning Commission to review the county zoning regulation, to conduct any hearings if necessary, and to make specific recommendations for changes to the county zoning regulations dealing with wind energy before accepting, granting, or recommending a conditional use permit for the construction of wind turbines, and that such recommendation shall be made within 2 months of signing of this resolution. Be it further resolved that said 3-month moratorium shall become effective as the date of the approval of this resolution.
I'll second that motion.
Moved by Bauman, second by Juergens. Additional discussion on this. Mr. Hill?
I guess the only comment I would make is, there's at least 5 members on this board that was on the board when we approved the Steel Flats project, which was also with NextEra. And I don't think there was a no vote against it. And obviously it's in a different area. And I'm not sure why, and I assume Mr. Levy has NextEra's permission to, grant vagueness to court. I'm not sure what NextEra is so worked up about. I mean, we're going to be fair about this, but we need to put some moratorium in place. And 3 months is not a long time.
Any additional discussion on this?
Just for the record, in the 2 weeks, my opinion hasn't changed, but I gave you. Stenberg's Attorney General opinion gave you a roadmap for lawyers on how to contest these issues. And whichever side doesn't like the results has equal protection, due process, commerce clause, all those things. Now, I granted it was a 1997 opinion, but the law hasn't changed as far as those are the considerations. And what I'm just telling you is in 2 weeks, her committee is going to be addressing the issue, and that's setbacks, okay? That should be the only issue that this board has to consider. And there were some other things. I think, Larry, you had like 3 things, but I mean, that's the biggest one, right? Okay, and what I'm saying is when you go up to an appellate level, if either side would do that, that makes it real simple, as opposed to constitutional issues that are very challenging to argue. And there's always case law on both sides, as you saw with these 2 able counsel. On third floor right now, there's at least 10 more attorneys and you get 10 more opinions. That's just the nature of law. So that I just say that from the standpoint that you are progressing. We got this hearing, which I think is the pivotal issue on this whole thing for both sides. And I look forward to that. A lot of good information, good exchange. Is there room for compromise? That's what we had last time we did this. We found compromise. It's the old adage when a judge looks at 2 people walking out of his court, or her courtroom and they're both mad, the judge figures he made a good decision. So I just throw that out for the record.
Thank you, counsel. Any additional discussion on this? If not, I would ask you to vote on approving or disapproving Resolution 2015, which would be a moratorium for 3 months to study the existing zoning regulations related to wind energy.
This is a motion to approve, correct?
Approve, correct. We have a motion by Bauman, second by Juergens. Vote. 7 in favor. Motion carries. And I do appreciate both sides here. This will go on and discussions will continue. This is not the board acting in favor or against either side. This is simply allowing planning and zoning to go through their process along with us. It does slow things up, which adds frustration for both sides, I'm sure. But it also allows for additional discussion between the parties involved as well as our planning and zoning. Up next, approve or disapprove accepting special use permits for wind and solar. We had this on our agenda 2 weeks ago. We voted not to. It was going to be brought back today. Roger, would it be proper to take this off, or should we vote on this since we imposed a moratorium on the vote prior?
I mean, it's on the agenda, so you're going to have to act on
it. I would ask for that. This was on 2 weeks ago, and we said we'd have it back, so because this could have gone either way on the vote before. So I would ask for a motion to approve or disapprove accepting special use permits for wind and solar.
You could do a motion to remove it from the agenda.
Oh, okay.
Because that board has a right to amend its agenda, and I would suggest that you did a moratorium. This is a moot issue. So just move to remove it, get a second, and vote on it.
I would move to take this off the agenda, to remove from the agenda.
Moved by Byers, second by Dorn. Any discussion on this item? Vote. 7-0. Item is removed from the agenda. Up next, approve or disapprove accepting the FOP's final offer. Is everyone familiar, or should we go through the FOP's final offer to us? This would have to be public. This would be all public now that the final offer has been made, where we can discuss everything.
As far as I know.
Okay.
It's on the agenda.
The primary.
And those of you who don't know what FOP is, Fraternal Order of Police, so you'll understand what this is.
Is this the one from last best offer from FOP? So in this year's contract, the differences, of course, were the dates. The FOP, their last best offer, offered a one-year agreement. There weren't a lot of changes. The FOP's offer included road deputies, investigators, and corrections officers would all receive a paid meal time, meal period. Employees working full shift at the screening station would not receive a full or a paid meal time unless working on road patrol. When the deputy is meeting with the attorney for pre-trial preparation, it will not be considered court time. The deputy will be paid for actual hours worked. If a hearing is postponed, the deputy arrives, he or she will still receive the minimum of 2 hours pay. If a hearing cannot be rescheduled during work hours, a minimum of 2 hours of pay will be given. So when they come to see the attorney, they'll have basically similar to what we have for call out for the highway department. Both sides agreed to that. The spouse of a beneficiary of an employee who is killed while in the line of duty would be paid 100% of the employee's accumulated sick leave. there's an addition to vacation time at 3 years. Currently, they receive 80 hours per year up to year six. The addition would be at 3 years, they would receive 96 hours up till year six when it's bumped up again. So it's an intermediate increase at 3 years. One-year agreement, some wording there. There's some change to meal reimbursement. The total per day did not change, but how that was allocated between the meals changed. Through negotiations, that was agreed upon by both parties. The biggest changes were on pay. Initially, there was an offer made by both sides. Some of the counties, the hourly rates were higher. Some of the FOP's hourly rates were higher. When that came back to us again, the higher ones the county offered were included, and the other, some of the other dollar amounts increased as well. There was talk back and forth on those. Do each of them have a copy of this, or was this emailed out? But that was the primary differences. There wasn't a lot to the contract, not many changes. Everything there was agreed upon, pretty much. The biggest change was the pay, and then instead of being a 10-year plan, they accelerated it to a 7-year plan. So every year there's a step, and then each year, well, this is a 1-year agreement, but it basically accelerated it from a 10-year step program to a 7-year step program, and then had different wage rates.
Mr. Chairman, so they compress the wage scale. Does everybody get a wage increase every year? Is there anybody that's going to make less money than they did this past year?
On neither program is there anything
everybody
like that.
Everybody gets an increase every year, estimated percentage each year.
I take that back. I believe there were three employees or so that, when we were talking, the FOP said they would freeze them until they made it to the next pay rate.
Why would they be frozen?
Because they're already over the average.
So
over
they're
the
already
mean.
Paid in excess of what the market bears. So everybody gets a wage increase. Nobody's getting less.
Right. Do you have Pixley's?
No, that, so.
Okay, so I can't read this then. I can't surmise what's in. Sam, if you want to say something, could you give us your name and address for the record?
Certainly, Sam.
And your position.
I'll give you the business address. It's 701 Marriott Drive in Nashville. I'm actually living in Omaha, though. I'm the labor representative for the FOP Lodge 45, which is the Gage County Sheriff's Office employees that belong to that group. And I want to answer your question is, no, they're not above the array. All of them are actually, the proposal we put on the table is that they're at like 98% of what the seven comparable counties would be, rather than 100%. And I want to clarify a couple other things. On the changes in the contract, on the meal issue, that is current policy. The county wanted to change that to where investigators would not be paid for lunch. In this case, the investigator is subject to call, phone calls, and radio calls, so he should receive a paid lunch period because it's not like he can leave the here at the court.
Meaning we are paying the deputies to eat dinner?
Yeah, there's something to call out. They may not get a dinner.
Who is it?
That's
all that sounds ridiculous. Go ahead.
Well, I'll answer your question, Mr. Supervisor. Every law enforcement officer in the country is paid for lunch period because they're subject to call out. They may get a call while their lunch gets there and they leave their lunch. I've left steak dinners on the table when I work. It just happens. And that's why they're paid. But the county wanted to change that to where the investigator would not receive a paid lunch. We simply included language that was already in the contract, which was already procedure before.
Sam, let me interject real quickly, too. We talked to the sheriff, and he was in the office eating lunch, potentially being called out. If that was passed, then he would be sent to have lunch and then come back. So he'd go have lunch, come back, because I asked how often he got called out, and he said, you never know, it might be once, it might be several times. That way he gets a lunch break, he goes away, and comes back. So he would not be doing anything on his lunch break. If that goes through, he'd be...
He wouldn't be required to answer his right. radio, his phone.
Right. If the county plan would go through.
So if there's 10 deal times and they don't get called out for 9, why would and they get called out for 1, why wouldn't they just submit a no lunch and get paid for that 1?
That's really not how it works. I'm just saying, I'm just saying the entire country, every law enforcement officer in this country is paid for their lunch because they're subject to call out and may not get their lunch when they want to take their lunch. If you work patrol, or if you work roads here, if you work in the courts here, you get a specific lunch period and you go to lunch. They don't.
If they don't get a lunch, then they should get paid for it. I absolutely agree with you.
I understand your point. It's just not the way it is.
They would be treated like a screening station. They'd have a lunch break, leave, come back. Road deputies get paid through lunch because they're road deputies. They don't have that opportunity to stop. So the county's plan makes them take a lunch.
The only difference in the meal part is the investigator. The county already has on the table and is already doing patrol and corrections people get a paid lunch. It's already being done. It's been done for probably as long as they've had a contract here.
Sam, when you say none of them are above their rate, there was a class that was above their rate, right?
I think probably the sergeant might be above the rate, and that's why we...
No, I think maybe it was just the deputies.
No, the deputies weren't above the rate. You mean on our proposal?
Well...
Or on the current...
Their current pay was above their rate for one subset of this.
That was the sergeant.
And please keep in mind it depends on what rate is used. The original numbers, we got our array from the FOP. That's what the county used. Everyone was on the same page until we took the top and bottom out. Once we took the lowest out and the highest out, then the rate fell to a lower number than what the FOP was happy with. So there were adjustments made, but up until then we went through everything together.
Well, that isn't standard procedure to remove the top and the bottom. That's not what the Commission of Industrial Relations
would do. I don't care. What was done was what was negotiated between both parties, and both parties agreed to that. So whatever is...
I don't believe we agreed to...
You weren't here.
Who was going to
You're right,
be
you
used.
Didn't, but the people that were here negotiating did. No, and that's nothing against you. You weren't here.
Well, they thought they were going to be able to work out a deal with you guys, and so they...
And they did a good job.
They decided not to have me here at the time, and that wasn't working, so they asked me to come back.
And I will also just state the initial numbers presented by the FOP and presented by the county. The county was higher on quite a few of the initial pay rates.
On the lower steps in the pay.
Right. We tried to get some more money on new people because we've had trouble with new hires. The FOP... lowered those new hires and put more on the back end, more on the higher end.
Actually,
so there was
a
give and take on both.
A big raise along with the corrections sergeant, who was the farthest underpaid of all employees.
Our initial corrections numbers were all higher than yours, other than maybe a couple.
I don't think they ended there. Once you
they didn't end there, but that's where they started.
Exactly.
So you used our higher numbers, but are there any other questions for
actually,
Sam?
Actually, none of only maybe the sergeant's areas have some of the same numbers. I don't
similar.
Most of the other ones are a little bit different.
Similar numbers.
Everything that is in our proposal, with the exception of wages and the investigator, were county numbers. We didn't change those. Those came out of the county. The county did the vacation thing, and they did the other issues. They did the meal, and we agreed to it. So.
A big item is the one-year and three-year contract. The county's proposed a three-year, and the FOP's proposed a one-year.
Well, exactly, because you decided not to give a raise in the second, third year. We took your proposal to a meeting on June 24th and presented your proposal to members of the lodge. and it was a unanimous vote to vote no on your last best offer, and a unanimous vote to support our last best offer.
Because we didn't offer a raise in years 2 and 3.
That's the biggest issue, yes.
And I want to discuss that also. That's completely false. The
it's not false.
Are there steps?
Those aren't raises. Those are step increases.
So step increases are not raises.
They're raises for that employee that happens to be on one of those steps. For that deputy or corrections officer,
I would like to make
it. It's no increase.
I want to make sure that's publicly stated that you said a step increase is not a raise. Those step increases are between 3.5 and 5.
That's an anniversary raise, just like every contract that I deal
with. So what you're saying is we'd have multiple raises every year for the same employee.
Just like you've had ever since the contract was started in Gage County, just like every contract that every law enforcement agency has. They all have step increases, and they all end up with raises in that.
What he's explaining is we're having a raise. The step, we had a step program. What he proposes is we have a step program plus a percentage increase. So instead of a 4%, 3%, 5% raise, we'd have times when we'd have 7 to 9% raises for the same employee when we're asking the rest of our employees to take more modest raises every year. I don't feel that's fair to give double raises to the same employee, not to mention the bookwork nightmare it is. Those are double raises.
Mr. Chairman, you're saying we propose double raises. That's not true. Your current contract, the contract that's in effect right now, has 8 steps, just like the contract that we're proposing, 8 steps. It's nothing new.
Your
it's
proposal
been there forever.
Has 7 steps.
8 steps.
7 years.
I'm sorry.
It's not new.
It's 3 years sooner. No,
exactly,
but we're trying to get
those,
rid of that.
Those, that extended years of service isn't normal for our array.
But what, and I'll give you credit, you're arguing for it. He's asking for basically with a step and a percentage increase, we're looking at 7 to 9% raises per employee per year.
That's not true.
Does the pay increase?
Yes, but it's not.
So would you consider that a
dot? On a pay proposal, between steps is 3.5%.
When that goes
up,
that's a
yearly raise if they have an anniversary date.
When that goes up by a percentage, for a step, is that a dock or a raise?
It's a raise, 3.5% step increase.
Okay,
it's
and then the raise
here,
on top
it's
of that.
For being a loyal county employee.
So the step or the percentage on top of that, is that a dock or is that a raise?
It'll be a yearly raise. It takes effect July 1st.
Okay.
Just
well,
like every other contract you had. And every other contract, every other law enforcement officer, county employee, with the exception of your county doesn't have any unions, I don't believe, so.
But irregardless, between the two, it'd be a 7 to 9% raise
that's
per
not true.
Per year.
It's not true.
Not on this
it's
one.
It's 3.5% increase.
Per step?
Per step. There is no increase in the second and third year, so I have no idea what it's going to be.
Because there
it
is
would
no
only
second
be 3.5% plus that 1, 2, 3, or 4% that might be there.
Okay.
Not 7 to 9, unless you're going to give them a 7% raise.
Just a second, Matt. Mr. Hill?
Well, my issue with moving the steps from a 10-year step to 7 is we negotiated with the same group for the last contract, and we agreed to expand those last steps out so people didn't hit the end of their steps so quick. Well, now this time they all want to shove it back so the ones that are in that time frame get their raises quicker.
Mr. Supervisor, that's not true.
I was there.
I was there last year too, and we put a proposal on the table that it'd be a 7-step plan over or 8-step plan over 7 years. But your plan has always been what it is. You didn't change that last year.
No,
we didn't agree to a change last year. We simply withdrew our proposal.
That was 3 years ago.
Could have been. I don't know.
Mr. Bauman.
An employee is put into the step plan every year. They will move through the step.
Until they reach their the maximum step.
And at some point, every employee is worth so much. At some point, there's an end.
Yep.
And then when we go back and look at the step plan, then you make that market adjustment and move the step plan.
Yeah, actually, that market adjustment happens every year. Mostly. Depending on what the comparable counties say. In this particular year, it says the corrections guys' start fee was like 6% below what it should be. Deputies were a little below the correction sergeant.
I also have our attorney's recommendation too. I want to let everyone hear before we make a motion.
The wage scale, the incremental increases might be greater, but then you top out sooner. So it actually benefits the employee to get that wage sooner.
Oh, yeah, yes.
So to compress the scale is good, but at some point somebody will end up all the way on the right hand side of the scale. That's not saying that that particular employee is a bad employee. That's just a point of fact. It's very objective. You come here and you end up here.
What do you mean by bad employee?
Yes, sir.
I said it doesn't, you're talking, are you suggesting merit raises?
There's
a wage scale. It's not speaking poorly about an employee to say, you're at the top of the wage scale. Thank you for your service. You're at the top of the wage scale. How is that a bad thing? By compressing the wage scale, you get there sooner. You get higher increases faster.
Yes, Mr. Supervisor, it does. I'll put a question to you. If you're a 7-year employee here in Gage County, would you want to make $26 an hour, or would you want to make $24 an hour and wait till you get here 10 years to make 26? I'm not an expert in math, but I think I want that $26 for that 3 years versus waiting for 3 years.
Well, I don't disagree with you, but how is the wage scale that when you come in? At some point, every position is worth so much.
Exactly. I'm not. That's what a page step is.
There's always, whether it's the 10th step or the 8th step, at some point you reach that step, and there you are.
Exactly.
The top of the lead step. And, so
exactly.
Person doesn't get it.
And what I'm saying is the counties we compare to have a step plan exactly like we presented.
I would disagree. I didn't see any two counties that have the similar step plan to each other. Counties are all over the board when we looked at them.
Most of them have an 8-step plan, and
we saw two step plans.
Some of them do, in your particular area. I mean, if you want to go to two steps, we don't have mind a nice starting amount and a really high second year amount. That's what those are.
They weren't 2 years. There was a minimum and a maximum.
Exactly.
And anything in between.
They went up to high very early. I mean, you're looking at.
We didn't have any.
Otoe County. Otoe County pays everybody 75 or 90%, whatever the percentage the state statute says of the sheriff's salary. Every employee. That's what they get.
Well, I would ask, is there any questions of Sam from the board? Do you have anything else for us?
I'd just like to add that the county's proposal will not be acceptable to the lodge.
Okay. We anticipated that the last meeting.
If you look at our proposal and the county's proposal, I think it's something like $4,000 or $5,000 difference.
You had originally presented to us, I think there was $8,000 or $11,000 difference.
That was changed after we adjusted those five people.
You also forgot an employee on yours altogether that we added back on. It was a new employee. You probably didn't have the information on it from your lodge.
I got my information from the county. So.
Was information requested from Sam for after that new hire? So no, you did. You got it, but you didn't get recent information.
I sent it to your attorney.
When?
A couple days after we met.
That must be
you
a new.
Looked at me. I
not you.
That's our attorney.
Pigsley.
Oh, if he had it and he did add that person on, so I don't know when you got information from him, but you did forget one employee, or didn't forget you didn't have information on one.
I'm guessing that one employee would add 10 cents to the per hour rate.
It's possible. I don't have that information either.
It's still going to be somewhere between $4,500 to $6,000 additional cost to the county to have 20-some employees happy. Save you money to save the Fraternal Order of Police money. Not these guys, but the national.
Well, I thank you for coming and speaking to us here this morning. I have the recommendation from our labor attorney, Mr. Pixley. He summarized it for us some also. He broke it into a few differences. The FOP's final offer is a 1-year offer contract, where the county's is a 3-year. The county's final offer provides pay increases between steps for sergeants of 94 to 95 cents, investigator 84 to $1.05, deputies 78 cents, sergeants 39, corrections 60 cents. So there is increases. The FOP's offer seeks to change the steps to only 1 year, so it would become the top on step 8 instead of a 10-year program. It makes the step program basically from a 7-year from a 10-year to a 7-year program. The county wishes to keep it at a 10-year. The FOP's final offer places investigators on the same pay line as sergeants, which will be a 7.4 to 9% increase increase in pay for investigators. The FOP's final offer seeks to significantly increase the pay for corrections sergeants in addition to what the county's final offer was, which already already significantly increased them because we were behind on corrections and correction sergeants. Step 5 would be an increase of 40 cents, step 6, 81 cents, step 7, $1.25, and step 8, $1.72 an hour. The FOP's final offer requires the county to provide a paid meal plan, a paid meal period for the investigator, which we did discuss. Mr. Pigley said we have three choices: make no changes, and follow the expired contract. So that's what we're doing right now, is we're following the expired contract. Option 2 would be let's see here. I guess right off the bat, this would be just accept or reject the FOP's final offer. The rest of this would go into the next agenda item if we don't accept their offer. It's Mr. Pigley's recommendation to reject the FOP's offer based on the 3 years, the changes in price. Basically, we made increases to the wages, then there were additional increases put on top of that. But it's Mr. Pigley's recommendation to reject the FOP's final offer. So I guess before additional discussion, even though we don't have a motion on the floor, I'd ask for a motion to accept or reject the FOP's final offer.
Make a motion to reject the final offer from the FOP.
Second.
Moved by Juergens, second by Dorn. Are there other questions on the FOP's final offer or the differences?
Mr. Chairman.
Mr. Bell.
Both plans give wage increases except for the employee on the top end.
The employee on the top end still gets a wage increase. It's just because this is shifting, making that adjustment in the step plan, so year 2 there would not be on the top end.
So nobody's going to make less money.
Correct. If they're already above the averages, they stay.
Nobody's going to the left of the scale. Everybody goes to the right, which would be an increase until you get to the top end. And at some point, somebody will top out.
Correct.
Well, I'd like to clarify that a little. Some of these employees are right of where they'll be on the new pay scale. They actually were put on a step slightly lower because to put them on the step that they were currently on was just way too much money. I mean, I can justify why they should be there, but I just thought it was way too expensive.
They won't make most money. If they're already off the scale, they'll make the same money. So what Sam is saying is some of the people are already paid higher than what our averages showed they should be.
I think it was the road sergeants, the special service sergeant, the investigator, and the corrections sergeant. Some of them were actually either frozen on the step they're currently on without moving up with how we're going to put them. And I think in the case of the corrections sergeant, she was actually moved down a step further than what she's sitting on now. And the reason I justify moving her down is she's actually been a sergeant for, I think, 2 years now, and she had been placed way up there because the wages were so bad. So that answers your question. Some of them were moved left because it's...
They weren't moved down in price. The scale moved far enough to the right that they went to a different step. They'll still make more money.
Yes, they all get a raise. They just... Their step wasn't changed.
Because she was an officer that became a sergeant, so you meet into that step.
So nobody's going to make less.
Absolutely not. No one is being reduced.
I'm going to vote to approve this, but I'm not accepting it because I like the multi-year deal. Both plans, people get an increase. I think that's a point to be made. We're paying people more. That is important. I like the multi-year.
Supervisor, we weren't necessarily against a multi-year. We actually put a multi-year contract on the table, but when the county came back with zero increases in the second, third year, that pretty much put up.
Why didn't your last best offer have a multi-year? Last best is one.
Mr. Bauman, I'll clarify on that too.
Am I missing something?
No, he's not considering a step
best
a raise.
Offer is 1 year?
A step isn't a raise, so a step is a raise plus the additional.
That's not true either.
Supervisor. Please don't insult our intelligence if they get an increase in another
raise,
increase.
But it's simply by step, not at their yearly raise. A yearly raise comes July 1st. The other difference in our program, our proposal, and I'm assuming the Pigsley's proposal hasn't changed. Ours takes effect July 1. His takes effect
the day the signing.
Maybe whenever it's if you pass his last best, we're not signing it.
Well, you don't need to. We sign it and implement it.
Exactly. So I guess that's when that's the case.
And the FOP is reason for a 1 year contract is so we can start this all over again next year.
Correct.
We're more than willing to do a multi year contract at 2 and 3, but when you start, what happened with the table, and I'll be specific, there was 2% for the second and third year offer, then there was a 1%, and then you just simply said no percent in the second and third year.
That's what happened. Well, what we said was, we're not going to put a percent there. They'll get what the rest of the county employees get.
That's not how labor contracts agree.
That wasn't good enough, is what it comes down to.
Yep.
Any additional? I appreciate what you're trying to do, Sam. I mean, you have to argue for your client, for your employer. But
I have one more thing.
Please brief.
You're taking Pigsley's recommendation, and I'm going to answer
that's only the motion.
I understand that. You're talking about this motion. I'll address Pigsley's recommendation on this motion. As he was recommending that you not approve our proposal. The only person that's going to gain in this whole process is Mr. Pigsley when he bills you additional money if we go to the CIR.
Thank you, Sam.
And that hasn't happened on the other side.
It's like we said previously, there's adversarial roles. It doesn't mean that either's necessarily against each other.
For free? The representation for the
they pay a monthly fee to the Labor Service Division of the National, and that's all they ever pay. If we go to the CIR, we pay the bill, not those guys.
I think the effort was to try and have reasonable people in the room to try and come to a reasonable agreement.
I agree.
My understanding was that at one point we were close to that.
I would reiterate that. I think the negotiating team did great. Sam, hush.
I'm going to tell you.
No, you're going to be quiet and leave.
Okay here,
you can talk when we ask you to.
I'll come back.
Hold
up
on.
Here and talk.
I'll say the negotiating team did very well. They went through things fairly. We addressed things. Both sides moved. And we came to, at one point, we had an agreement that day. There was one party that didn't move to where they wanted. I thought we had an agreement that day already. I thought we were there. The next meeting you were at, we kind of lost all the ground we made on both sides.
I didn't come on my own.
No,
I just didn't decide, well, I'm going to go down to that next meeting, whatever it is.
Well,
they
briefly,
called
if
said,
you have something that we're done with.
Negotiation wasn't going well.
Briefly.
And we want to go to the CIR.
Okay.
And I said, you cannot go to the CIR unless I get to the table and try and figure out what's going on.
Okay.
And that's
do you have,
why
do you have
there.
Anything else to add, Sam? Otherwise, I'd ask you to take your seat and we'll talk about
this. I will. I just
want to
make sure I clarified that.
All right. Any other discussion from the board? I do want to really tell the board here, when they were negotiating, I was happy with the team that the Sheriff's Department put forward, both the deputy and the corrections officer. We made some good adjustments. We made some changes that affect them positively. And I think we made really good headway. Mr. Lytle?
Yeah, just one thing. I just wanted the board to know, I think we all know this, but Jefferson County does have a labor agreement with their officers where they're adjusted according to what everybody else in the county makes. So that has been done, and it's being done in Jefferson County. That's what I discussed with one of their supervisors. So I do know that even though Sam states that there is not a current labor agreement that adjusts the way the rest of the county employees, that there is something set like that.
Are they
say that?
Are they FOP?
Be quiet.
I didn't say it.
You did say
if
that.
Somebody says I said something I didn't, I'll say
That's Sam, wild. Sit down.
I did not
Sam,
say.
Sit down.
No, he just impugned
Sam,
my
sit
integrity.
Down.
I
sit
did
down.
Not say
sit
it
down.
Doesn't exist.
Sit down.
They have a labor agreement
right now,
they settled for, and
sit.
That's part of the agreement. Well, don't call me a liar.
Sit down, or you can go in the hall if you talk again. That's your warning. One more time, and you're in the hallway. Thank you. Any other discussion with the board?
Eric,
Mr.
Sam,
Biden?
If I misunderstood what you said, then I apologize, but that is what you said.
That's what I heard too, Jerry.
Can I respond?
No, we're moving on.
Can we vote?
Yeah.
You're right.
Please, sir.
All right, we've got both sides there. We have a motion by Mr. Juergens and a second by Mr. Dorn to reject the FOP's final offer. I'd ask you to vote. 7 in favor, the offer is rejected. Next on the agenda is approve or disapprove implementing the county's 3-year final offer agreement with the FOP in part or in full. And that's where I'll get back to the offer with or the options Mr. Pigsley gave us. We can make no change and we'll just continue the way we are. We can make we can implement part of the 3-year final offer that we made to the FOP, or we can implement all of it, all of the 3-year final offer to the FOP. If we offer any or all, we would offer that with a 3-year agreement. Wages would change. Would they change at this pay period, or would they change at the end of this pay period, or today, or at the end of this pay period?
Well, we have to wait to the next one because this one's already calculated.
Oh, is this one redlined?
No, this one isn't
redlined.
Do you want it?
What's the full? What's the most beneficial, the part of the full for the debt?
I would think the full would be the most beneficial.
I'll make a motion to approve the county's 3-year final offer agreement with the FOP in full, as that appears to be the most beneficial of our agreement.
Second.
Moved by Bauman. Second by Lytle. Any discussion or questions? Mr. Hill.
Well, certainly, I think we did negotiate well. It just seems like at the end, they're wanting something extra, and the county just don't have extra to give right now. And we're assuming if we go to CIR that, it'll actually probably benefit the county and the wages will be lower, but I guess we'll find out.
Mr. Bauman?
My main impetus for doing this is it's a multi-year. I don't think we're too far off. I don't disagree with what the gentleman from the FOP said about the dollar amount. It's not a significant dollar amount, but I like the multi-year agreement.
I agree with Brad on that at this point. The other thing is that if we chose to just continue with the expired contract or whatever, then we're not showing any raise to the employees, and I don't feel that that's fair to them. I think that they do deserve their raise. And I do think that we move forward with the 3-year offer that was offered to the FOP.
Anything further? Basically, the only difference there were the changes to wages otherwise, and then the other redlined items I discussed before, they are included in this 3-year agreement also. If there's no further discussion, we have a motion by Bauman, second by Lytle, to approve implementing the county's 3-year final offer agreement, which was dated May 26, 2020, with a start date of
the
next pay period.
Claims in.
So it wouldn't have taken effect this pay period, but the following pay period they would be given their increases.
So what date is that?
See, the next pay period, well, they're 2 weeks in arrears, so this will be effective today, and we'll just get the pay claims in.
Too much of a hassle to go retro and go to the fiscal year?
Well, they're 2 weeks behind, so we really...
Yeah, so we may catch them.
It's going to be really close.
Is that going to be at least be an additional concession?
It's going to be real close with 2 weeks in arrears. Today's the 15th, so... fiscal year's July 1st. All right, I would ask, if there's nothing else, I would ask for the board to vote. 7 in favor, motion carries.
Eric,
Mr. Lytle.
One thing to say, there is the option of always going back and looking at your 2 and 3 as opposed to a percent raise if it was necessary. I mean, you can always open the contract and discuss one item if you want.
Yeah. Very true.
If for some reason we get way off on wages, we'll go back and look at that.
Mr. Jurgens.
I have a comment to make. I don't understand what that may be. I agree with you, Mr. Jurgens.
Roger.
Uh-oh.
Roger. Roger.
He's messing with this thing.
I have the agenda item on.
Next on the agenda is approve or disapprove there. Southeast Nebraska Adult Drug Court interlocal agreement, which we passed earlier in the agenda by adding an item.
Okay.
No, it's the same. We've
it's the
it
same.
On it
just, I didn't think I had it on there, and he didn't think I had it on. Well, it's because I put it on, but I forgot to change my date. So,
I would ask for a motion to remove this
this
item, the approve or disapprove Southeast Nebraska Adult Drug Court.
I didn't
put it on
it
last.
I know.
Motion to remove.
I'll move to remove the
second.
Item.
Moved by Hill, second by Bauman.
Now
oops.
I do too many.
Oops.
Whatever.
Oops. Motion by Hill, second by Bauman. Vote. 7 in favor. You're right, Gary. That would have been wrong anyway on that one. So
we'd have had to adjust the dates. But yeah.
Any discussion on the 2020-2021 budget? Any budget items anyone would like to bring up? Input, suggestions? Nothing?
I don't know.
We'll have this on each agenda, so if you guys have anything, please bring it to the meeting.
I think it's valuable to have it on the agenda so that the public can comment as well regarding the budget. I think we try to do that every year, is offer it multiple times. It's always there, specific to the budget. So I think that's good.
If there's nothing else, I would ask for a motion to go into closed session at 10:22 on the clock for personnel discussion.
So moved.
Second.
Vote. 7 in favor. Motion by Bauman, second by Dorn, that we go into closed session necessary for the protection of the public interest or for the protection of needless injury to the reputation of an individual. No action will be taking place there. We will simply be discussing a couple employees.
How much does it cost?
Okay. I would ask for a motion to come out of closed session at 11:07 on the clock.
Moved
by Dorn, second by Bauman. Vote. 6 in favor. Motion carries. Anything else for the good of the order? Seeing not.
Hold on, make sure there's nobody else out there. As I understand it. Just make sure, just in case.
How far down you gotta go to get that?
I would ask for, if there's nothing else for the good of the order, I would ask for a motion to adjourn. Moved by Bauman.
I don't farm.
Second by Dorn.
4 foot would seem
vote.
Covered,
how about if there's anything for the bad of the order?
6 in favor.
You ought to ask that.
We are adjourned at 11:07. I probably should have dinner.
How much does it cost to commission one?